Last week in the journey, we talked about debt and how God uses that to help create freedom in our lives. Today, we're going to talk about money, and more specifically around money, generosity, specifically through tithing, and how God uses that to change the trajectory of our lives. Good morning. My name's Paul. I'm honored to be with you this morning. Special thanks to Kurt for giving me one of the easier topics to teach on. Thanks, bud. Appreciate that very much. But I'm excited to be here, and it's a very important topic. I want to share really four important ideas when it comes to generosity and tithing and those kinds of things. And you heard Patrick just talk a little bit about tithing, so let's make sure we define that up front, because it's very, very important. So in a community of believers like Crosspoint, generosity through tithing is really one of the most impactful ways that we can demonstrate generosity. So what's a tithe? A tithe is very simply a tenth or 10%. So for all the math geniuses out there, $100, 10% of $100 is $10. Okay, we got it. All right, so it's very simple, not any more complicated than that. It's actually a very old covenant, Old Testament principle that's very much alive and well today. And tithing is, when we talk about tithing, it's a great place to start when it comes to generosity. Great place to start. So let's dig in. Don't have a lot of time, so let's get to it. So four important ideas. First important idea is the simplest, but most difficult, at least for me. First principle is you own nothing. In this world, you own nothing. I own nothing. Everybody say nothing. Nothing, an emphatic nothing in the front. I appreciate that. Nothing. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. It's very, very important. The concept of generosity through tithing all starts here. Think about how your life started. You entered this planet with nothing. Like nothing at all, nothing physically, nothing emotionally, nothing spiritually, nothing. And then you spend your whole life accumulating somethings in all those areas, and then you end your life, because every life ends, with nothing. Very important. So this is one of the most difficult concepts for us as humans to kind of understand and grasp, but it's when it comes to generosity and creating or allowing freedom to enter your life through generosity, it's the most important concept to understand. Apostle Paul talked about it a little bit in 1 Corinthians, his first letter to the church in Corinth. And he says this in chapter 6, "Do you not know that your bodies are a temple, and they're temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God?" Very important here. You are not your own. You've been bought at a price. So not only is your stuff not yours, your money isn't yours, not even your own body is yours. It's been given to us, bestowed on us. Very important concept. For me, this is one of the hardest. Think about this. Your skills, your abilities, your passions, your motivations, your work ethic, your personality, all those things aren't yours. All those things that you use to earn a living and make money are not your own. And so, by proxy, the things you use to earn money, if those aren't your own, then the money isn't your own. Glenn James, you likely have never heard of, is a homeless man who lives in the Boston area. And one day last year, in 2013, he was unfortunately doing as what homeless do. He was walking through the streets of Boston and came across a backpack. And that backpack had $40,000 in it, about $3,000 worth of cash and about $38,000 worth of traveler's checks. And it was left behind intentionally by a tourist. And instead of keeping it, which to a homeless person, to any of us in this room, $40,000 would make a pretty significant difference. He gave it all back, very quickly, gave it to the authorities, and they were able to track down the owner of it. The headline read, "Homeless man finds $40,000 and gives it back ... all of it. So I want to go through an exercise real quick this morning. For each of you, take out the phrase homeless man and put in your occupation or put in your title at work, whatever you do to earn money, and then take that $40,000, take that amount out and replace it with your annual income, and then read it back. Something like this. Banker finds $50,000 and gives it back all of it. Housewife finds $75,000. Shout out to all the housewives out there. And gives it back all of it. Pastor finds $100,000 and gives it back all of it. See, to me, that's who we are. We're Glenn James. We're the homeless guy. We're the guy with nothing. And our struggle is we think we own it all. Fortunately for Glenn James, he knows he's homeless. He knows he has nothing. For us, it's a little bit more of a challenge. So how we respond when we find money that isn't our own dramatically impacts how we live our lives. So very important here, most difficult for me. Because what do I say every day? And what's my reconnect or recorrection every day? It's this. I did it. I did it. I worked hard for that. I'm the one who got up early every day and stayed up late working hard. I earned it. I paid the price. I did it. I. But you know, as I live my life, I recognize more and more, and as I understand the kingdom of God and his economy, I start to understand that I don't own it. It's not mine to own. So the idea that even the money that we have and the abilities we use to earn it are not our own, it means even the money we have is not ours. So that leads me to the next important idea. So we own nothing. That's a big one. That's one I struggle with every day. But I own nothing. You own nothing. God, well, he owns everything. God owns everything. And by the way, he doesn't need anything from us. He tells the psalmist this with probably not as much attitude, but the more I dug into this passage and kind of let it enter my heart, I got the sense that if he had every right to put a little attitude on this. So God says to the psalmist, in Psalm 50, he says, I have no need for a bull from your stall or a gate from your pen. For every animal of the forest, it's mine. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains and the insects, even the insects of the field, they're mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and everything in it. And this is not in there, but I'm going to add it. And I, even if I need something, I wouldn't ask you for it because you've got nothing. So God says, everything is his. And in a not so subtle way, I don't need anything from you. And that's an important part. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus reminds the church. He says, hey, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I am everything. And kind of, you know, in that same connection, I own everything. Everything begins with me and it ends with me. It's mine. So here's the deal. We own nothing. Whether you believe that or not this morning, it's absolute truth. We own nothing. God owns everything. He's the source of all things. Everything we have is his. And you know, if we let those two concepts kind of really sink deep, it starts to change how we live our lives. You've heard the phrase, what do you give somebody? And I think about this in my house with four little kids. What do you give somebody that's got everything? That's a no truer statement than talking about God. What can we give to God, the one who owns everything? And by the way, anything that we have was his to begin with. What can we give back to God? It's a difficult question to ask, but hang on, it gets worse. Even what we give to God is not what we think it is. The prophet Isaiah talks about this and what we have to offer God and the one who owns everything when he says, chapter 64, verse 6, he says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags." So I think about that, and I kind of let it sink deep in my heart, and I think, hey, all the good things that I think I do, all the things that I would think I'm getting a pat on the back for, all the money that I give away, when I pile that all up in front of the throne room of God, and I think, hey, this is probably going to look pretty good. I stack all that up, and I pile that up, and God says in his absolute holiness, he says, those are like dirty rags. So then I start to think, all right, I don't own anything. God owns everything. And what I give back to him from what I have or what I control is like a pile of filthy rags. Yet he asks us to give back to him through the generosity of tithing. Why is that? Well, let's keep going. Third big idea. Generosity through tithing is a process of surrendering control. So we own nothing. God owns everything. So it's not an ownership topic at this point. It's a control topic. So he owns it, gives some of that to us, and it's up to us to control it. And how we control it is very important. How we surrender control, specifically around money, is very important. So here's the principle. You can freely give up what you control. Okay, you freely give up what you control, but whatever controls you, you will keep. All right, let that one sink in for a second, okay? You can freely give up what you control, but what controls you, you will keep. So when God asks us to give back to him through generosity of tithing, it's not because he needs it. He owns it all already. It's because he knows that we need it. He knows that we need it. Generosity, that is. He knows that as disciples and those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, he knows we have to deal with the issue of who really owns what in our lives. So two key words here. First one, generosity. Let's look at that. I found a definition of generosity that I thought fit perfect here for us today. To be generous is the quality of being not selfish. The quality of being not selfish. So think of generosity as not being selfish. Not an easy task, even though it sounds simple. Second key word for us is surrender. What does surrender mean? Surrender can be defined as giving up completely or agreeing to forego, especially in favor of another. Giving up completely and agreeing to forego, especially in favor of another. This whole idea of unselfishly giving up completely what controls you and I today, specifically money, giving up that control, is why God created the tithe. Not because he needed it, not because he needed our money, because he knows today that we need it. It's his way of helping us surrender control of our money. This is how he talked about it to the prophet Malachi, to the Israelites, way back when. Malachi chapter 3, you may have heard this one before. This is a good one. Probably ends up in every message around tithing, but it's a great one. He says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, and there, and maybe food, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. Test me, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have enough room for it." Floodgates of heaven open, and you won't have enough room for it. Powerful, powerful. Now, it's very important here. So God's talking about 10%. If you notice, he said the whole 10%. So the whole tithe is the whole 10%. That's not 8%. It's not 2%. It's not 5%. It's 10%. So it's very important, the whole 10%. And by the way, it's not the last of it. It's not the scraps. It's not what's left over at the end of the month, okay? But the best. The first, right off the top. Give back to him, he says. Give back to me and just watch what happens. All right, so Glenn James, a homeless guy, found 40 grand, gave it all back. And in this internet world we live in, the word got out. And through the generosity of a lot of other people, this homeless man who had nothing, who received $40,000, gave it right back, actually received more than $72,000 from the generosity of other people. It's made me think about the posture of a guy like this who had an understanding that that money wasn't his to begin with. So as he gave that back, I had this image of him giving back with his hands open. And as he gave back, he was actually in a much better posture to receive. So think about that. I found 40 grand, wasn't his to begin with, which, by the way, our money isn't ours to begin with. And instead of holding on to it tightly and trying to do something with it himself, he opened it up and gave it right back. And in the process of giving back, he was in that posture to receive. More than 50% return, if you look at it that way, more than a 50% return on what he gave, he received back. Pretty incredible. You know what? At the end of the day, as I think about this, that's the kingdom of God at work. Because the kingdom of God is opposite of what the kingdom of the world says. Kingdom of God says to gain, you must lose. To receive, you must give. To live, you must die. To be free, you must first surrender. That's what made Jesus so controversial, so radical, is he came to establish a kingdom in total opposition to the world. So, hey, note of caution here. Anytime you talk about money and you talk about giving it away and receiving it, it's very easy to go down the wrong path. So God has promised throughout his word blessings upon blessings. We just saw it in Malachi, blessings upon blessings. The more you give, the more you receive. But it's not always in terms of like for like. It's not always the more money you give, the more money you receive. It's not a like for like, and he's never promised that. Now, we'll see all kinds of stories throughout this journey. We've seen them already. We'll see more. We'll even see one here in just a few minutes, where people who are in terrible financial situations don't wait to get out of those before they start generosity through tithing. They start to get free by releasing control of their money through tithing. And you'll see story upon story, they're endless, of how they in turn receive money that can't be explained. So there is no doubt that God blesses when people release and surrender control. But it can be in other forms. Those blessings can be in other forms. It could be in the forms of redeemed relationships or deeper relationships with him and with others. It can mean all kinds of physical health and spiritual health and all kinds of blessings not necessarily connected to money. So I want to be very cautious there and make sure we understand. Now, sometimes, again, he does bless with more money, but oftentimes it's greater blessings than just money that comes back returned, okay? So, we own nothing. God owns everything. Generosity is a process of surrendering control. So, number four, tithing, giving 10% off the top, the first, the best, is a soul reprioritization. Everybody say reprioritization. Close enough. Very good. C.S. Lewis once said, "You don't have a soul, you are a soul, and you have a body." That's very important in this conversation. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. Your soul is the one that God created before the beginning of time. Your soul is the one that lives forever. Your soul is the one that makes the decision to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, and your soul chooses to live in fellowship with him for eternity. It's your soul. We're all a soul. So how each soul prioritizes his or her life is the most important thing to God. How we prioritize our soul is the most important thing for him. Let's talk about priorities. We talk about the most important thing. Our priority is a concern interest or desire that comes before all others. A concern, interest, or desire that comes before all others. And that's where God wants to be. That's his desire, to be that top concern, that top interest, that top desire in our lives. And he knows that it's money that's his number one competitor to that top spot in our souls. He knows it is. He knows it is. This daily reprioritization of the desire of our soul is a tough one. It's really tough. So generosity through tithing, through giving back to God what's already his, helps us reprioritize. That's the immense eternal value of tithing, not because God needs it, because he knows it's something we need, and it's a way for us to constantly reprioritize what's most important to us, what's our top desire. So Jesus spoke very eloquent a lot about this soul reprioritization, and he did it again in Matthew chapter 6. He said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because there's moths and there's vermin that destroy it. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin can't get in, and thieves can't break in and can't steal it. And this is the profound message this morning. He finishes by saying, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where my treasure is, there my soul will be also. The Father, God the Father, he's after our souls. He's after our souls, and he knows that money is his number one competitor there. It's why Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven or hell combined, because he knows what it can do to our soul. He knows that money easily by a long shot can take the top priority in our soul. It's why generosity through tithing is such an important discipline in a community of believers like Crosspoint, because it allows us to surrender control, open our hands, and reprioritize our soul on a regular basis. And it's a deliberate action that demonstrates to God our priority, which is him. And it's a daily, daily exercise. So, in the context of we own nothing, you own nothing, I own nothing, God, well, he owns everything, that generosity, particularly through tithing, is a way for us to surrender control of what we don't own, but God has given us control over it. So surrendering control back to him is generosity. It's an important part of the process. And then tithing is a way to kind of reprioritize what's most important to us in our souls. The question for me and for you is, okay, what now? There's a great story you're about to see from the Huermans. Everybody say Huermans. No. They tell a story about how they use generosity and how they use this idea of tithing to reprioritize their lives, surrender control of their money, and find freedom, even in the midst of a very difficult debt situation, to find freedom through giving and generosity. And I'm hopeful it encourages you and me to do the same. Let's watch.